From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Necessary Knowledge. The text is found in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 30. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. To be the Lord's own people is a choice blessing, but to know that we are such is a comfortable blessing. It is one thing to hope that God is with us, and another thing to know that He is so. Faith saves us, but assurance satisfies us. We take God to be our God when we believe in Him, but we get the joy of Him when we know He is ours and that we are His. No believer should be content with hoping and trusting. He should ask the Lord to lead him on to full assurance, so that matters of hope may become matters of certainty. It is when we enjoy covenant blessings and see our Lord Jesus raised up for us as a plant of renown that we come to a clear knowledge of the favor of God toward us. Not by law, but by grace do we learn that we are the Lord's people. Let us always turn our eyes in the direction of free grace. Assurance of faith can never come by the works of the law. It is an evangelical virtue and can only reach us in a gospel way. Let us not look within. Let us look to the Lord alone. As we see Jesus, we shall see our salvation. Lord, send us such a flood tide of Thy love that we shall be washed beyond the mire of doubt and fear.
I know my
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude the second of two messages on the theme of the secure standing of the justified, part of this series in the book of Romans. The text is verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, where Paul sets forth the glorious results of justification by faith. According to verse 1, the first consequence of justification is peace with God. Verse 2 speaks of the access Christ has given us into the grace of God. Christ not only introduces us into the presence of God, he also maintains that secure standing. This gives believers great liberty to take the gospel to the unsaved. In addition, the perfection of Christ's work gives believers perfect peace with God. Paul goes on to speak of rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Because God's love for people does not change, afflictions can be borne with joy. Finally, the hope of the believer does not end in disappointment, for Christ's resurrection guarantees our salvation. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message called The Assurance of Grace Here and of Glory Hereafter.
Think of the things you can boast about. What Christ has done. What he is doing. Glory in the midst of your tribulation. But I have to say that to Paul this meant a whole lot more. When he speaks of men who glory in men, he speaks of men who glory on account of men. When he speaks of those who glory in the law, they're glorying on account of having the law. When he speaks of us glorying in God, he's speaking of us glorying on account of the God we have. And here he's speaking about glorying in tribulations. And I have to say, as I read what Paul writes in other places, he really means this. I am glorying on account of the fact that I'm suffering. Now, I don't think Paul likes suffering any more than you do or I do. But he took seriously the words of the Lord Jesus, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And the comfort makes the mourning well worthwhile. Blessed are ye when man shall revile you and shall speak evil of you. Blessed are ye when man will persecute you. Happy? Glorying? Like the early apostles in Acts 5:41, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Like the Apostle Paul himself, in that great 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 9 and 10, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now here's Paul's deduction. Remember, he has been praying that God would take away a debilitating physical affliction. It was a hindrance. It was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. Understand what he's saying. This messenger of Satan to buffet him, it was like somebody hammering at his body and at his soul. He was in a fight. He was suffering immensely. And he was crying to God, Lord, this is hindering me in my itinerant ministry of the gospel. Take it away. And his only answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul, in one of the most beautiful statements of submission and faith in all of Scripture, I can see him bow his head and say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. A minute ago he was praying, take it away. Now he's saying, Lord, I will rather glory in my infirmities in order that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Don't believe the devil's lie that if you're sick or afflicted or weak or in trouble, that therefore God is so angry with you that you cannot be of use to him. God is saying the very opposite to Paul here. Paul, I only use broken vessels. Want you to understand that? Every preacher I have ever known who has ever used of God in any significant way has first been brought to the place of utter brokenness and self-emptying. Therefore, says Paul, I take pleasure. And I have to confess, I find that so difficult to understand. But he says, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The New Testament church had a very different outlook on suffering than we have today. But theirs was the right one. We tend to look on suffering as something that God could not intend for us. They looked at it as something that God did intend for them and for their good. We look at chastisement as God being angry with us. They look at chastisement as God purifying us, preparing us, honing us for greater usefulness. And that's why Peter in 1 Peter 4, 13-14 wrote, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So when Paul says, we boast in tribulation, he's saying, listen, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of all this suffering, I will prove God's sustaining grace, and I will prove his sanctifying grace to uphold me now and to prepare me for greater usefulness here, for glory hereafter. I believe that's his meaning because of how he ends. Tribulation worketh patience. The word patience in English simply means to suffer. It's a suffering. In English, I say that because of its root that comes from a Latin verb that simply means to suffer. Patience, therefore, is by us sometimes thought of as sort of a stoic acceptance. But that's not the New Testament meaning. It is a very active thing. It means patient endurance. It means constancy. Tribulation works constancy. And that patient endurance, that constancy, worketh experience. The word means proof or evidence of fidelity under testing. In other words, this is God's way of turning an inexperienced recruit into a tested veteran to be trusted in the work of God. And this experience works hope. In other words, when you've gone through all this, far from it driving you from the Lord, the more you consider Christ in the midst of your suffering, and remember, He suffered as no one ever suffered, that ours is but for a moment, the more you'll be strengthened in your confidence as you prove God. For thank God, He doesn't fail us now, and He doesn't fail us hereafter. As James says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he received the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The final thing I'll say is this, and I like this above them all in many ways, not because it's intrinsically more important, but because this is the end of the story. The hope of believers will never disappoint them. This hope maketh not ashamed. As Isaiah puts it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth in him shall not make haste. Peter quoted that. He that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Paul quoted it in Romans 9:33. He that believeth in him shall not be ashamed. You see what he's saying? If your hope is in Christ, it will never disappoint you. I was reading the statement of John Calvin's. A loose translation of it would be, the issue of the believer's salvation is most certain. I like that. The issue of the believer's salvation is most certain. The hymn writer said, on the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. But for very many, that hope will be disappointed. But I want to tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've repented and believed the gospel, you're justified by faith, then you have a hope that will never disappoint you. So we enjoy absolute security, because our justification is founded on the merits and mediation of Christ. It guarantees us peace with God, His favor, friendship, and fellowship. And it carries with it the confidence that God has guaranteed us to be partakers of His glory forever. How will I finish? As I reviewed all this in my study, that's the question I had to ask. So what? My mind went to what Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if any man gives up the justifying righteousness of Christ, if any man repudiates the finished work of Christ, if any man goes out to meet God on any other basis, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You are either those who draw back from the righteous merits of Christ to perdition, or those who believe to the saving of the soul. Make sure tonight, where you stand, that it's securely, assuredly, in Christ, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it on our hearts and use it to the saving of the lost, to the edification and the comfort of the saints, to the strengthening in faith of all thy believing people. Lord, in the midst of all the crises of life, turn our eyes upon Jesus, that we may look full in his wonderful face. Lord, we pray that however much we may lament ourselves and our own reactions to the circumstances in which we live, oh God, grant that we may never cease to boast of Christ, to glory in the cross. And oh Lord, even in tribulation, grant that thou wilt keep the hope brightly burning before us. We thank thee for the security and the assurance of saints, simple believers in Jesus Christ. Lord, let us live in the joy of that assurance, and in its power go out to reach the lost for Christ. For thank God tonight, Calvary has made a full atonement. Hear our prayer, and part us now with thy very richest blessing. Be the abiding portion of thy blood-bought people, both this night and evermore. We pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.